On this episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, an appearance in Charlotte, men's basketball talk, and I share my thoughts on all three phases of this season's team of Carolina football. Okay, here we go. To episode 172 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. And what is up, Gamecock Nation? We are inching closer to football season. I am just hyped. Like, I don't know if you can feel it in the air, but I feel something. And it's this constant struggle of like holding on to the last couple of weeks of summer and fun in the sun, all that jazz before we lock ourselves into sports bars for 12 hours a day, twice a week for however many weeks, and also football. So, honestly, I'm ready for football. And in that vein, I have a very special announcement. Your boy, that's right, me. If you couldn't figure that out, I am going to be in attendance in the building in Charlotte week one to take on the Carolina Tar Heels. Tar Heels, more like lame heels. That's absolutely going to be my game day sign. I am so excited. This whole thing came to fruition and it's a blast. I have not been to a neutral site game in my college football fandom. I haven't been to an opener since I was in school, so I am very, very ecstatic. If you see me around, say hi, let's talk ball, but I am very excited to see our Gamecocks kick off this season in style, in Charlotte, and hopefully use this game as a springboard to what can be a very fun and exciting season. Got a fun episode for you all here. Got a few things to cover outside of football, actually talking basketball, believe it or not. And then I'm going to share my general thoughts, concerns, excitement for each of the three phases of this Carolina team this year, offense, defense, and special teams. But before I get into all that, we are still using my Gamecock calendar here for Gamecock facts and trivia. Let's see what we got today. It is a piece of trivia. Can you name the South Carolina wide receiver who was a sixth round pick of the Carolina Panthers, shout out Charlotte, in the 2021 NFL draft? Is that my guy, Shy Smith? It is. Shout out Shy Smith. Love that guy. That guy was a baller. I mean, looking back on some of the teams that like that group of receivers was on, I mean, it can really frustrate you just to think of the unrealized potential of some of those offenses, really. I mean, Bryan Edwards, Debo, Shy, Hayden. Yeah, that's tough. Rico Dowdle, you know, in the back, you know. But, hey, that's life. Shy Smith, though, still made a huge impact at his time at South Carolina, and you know, he's doing his thing in the pros. It's cool now to see some other Gamecocks in the pros. I saw Josh Van making a couple highlight plays, saw Jalen Brooks making that two deep in the Cowboys. I actually saw Rico Dowdle making the two deep as well. So very exciting times for Gamecock alumni in the NFL. But let's talk about Gamecocks in college right now, and particularly guys on the basketball team. That's right. We're talking men's basketball in August. I did not think that was going to be on the agenda, but As per NCAA regulations, the team was allowed to take a foreign trip. You're only allowed to do that, I think it's like once every 4 years. So the Gamecocks took advantage in a big way, going to the Bahamas to play a pair of exhibition games. That's how you know Lamont Paris is the guy. He says, I'm going to take my team to the Bahamas. We're going to take advantage of this situation. We're going to get a couple exhibition games in, work on our craft. And by the way, we're going to go to one of the most beautiful places you can take a vacation. The Gamecocks won both games. They defeated Lithuania's Žalgiris 2 team 86-60. And then they beat Argentina's club Obras 106-67. Now look, I am not about to sit here and act like I know anything about Lithuanian or Argentinian basketball teams, but I will take two victories, even exhibition games, especially for a team and a program that needs confidence and frankly needs reps together to gel as a way to kind of get this thing kickstarted here, to hopefully have a pretty good start to the season when that does roll around here. Now, across the couple of games here, Michi Johnson, he was very strong. That's exactly what you wanted to see. And transfers BJ Mack and Miles Stute were as advertised, making impacts, shooting the three, getting rebounds, especially for Mack. But arguably, the story of the games was freshman Colin Murray-Boyles impressed everyone with consistent performances. He logged 20 points across the two games. So fun to be talking other Gamecock sports here and starting to think about what could be for those guys, and really hope nothing but the best for them the rest of the offseason. But a team that is not really in the offseason mode anymore. I mean, fall camp is fully underway. We got media appearances, press conferences, all that jazz. It's the football team. As aforementioned, week one is around the corner, and it is that time of year where things are really ramping up. So like I said, what I'm going to do now is just give a high-level overview of my thoughts on all three phases of the team here, what I'm excited for, if I have any concerns, guys I got my eye on, and just give my general vibes. And if there's anything that I missed, or if you are concerned or excited about something else, shoot me a message. I'm always happy to talk South Carolina football here. But you can't talk about a Shane Beamer team and not talk about special teams. So that's where we're leading off, special teams. And I'm going to start with podcast guest Kai Kroger. Kai Kroger is someone who very well should be on, I think it's the Ray Guy finalist. I mean, he's on the watch list as the top punter in the country. He was a weapon for this team last year. He has grown into an incredibly consistent contributor on this team. And make no mistake about it, we can talk about all the fun things that Kai has done, throwing the touchdowns, things like that, being active in tackles. I mean, that's huge too. But the act of punting itself and being consistent and being able to pin your opponent deep. And in the interview where I had him on, he talked about wanting to improve his hang time. Being able to flip the field possession after possession, whenever it happens, is incredibly important. So it starts with Kai, if you ask me. I feel really good about that. I talked about Mitch Jeter last episode as an impact player. Again, having a consistent kicker and having that fallback is fantastic. Do I expect him to be 100% this year? I mean, how can you, right? I mean, you can't expect a guy to not miss. He missed one in the spring game, which it was kind of out there on social media. Maybe that was a low-key good thing that he kind of got that out of his system. But for him to be in the very high percentages is also going to be a saving grace for what I hope to be a more effective offense, especially getting down into the red zone and things like that. And then in the return game, I mean, you're looking at We're not sure exactly who it's going to be, but fair to assume Xavier Leggett on the kickoff team. Just look at the A&M tape. I mean, he's a big, physical dude, tough to bring down, knows how to make a man miss from his skill set as a receiver, and he's just built differently than your typical kickoff returner, which I like. And he's going to grind it out, and he's tough to bring down, and I feel confident with him there, man. And then on the punt return team, it's not exactly sure who that's going to be. Marion Brown, Eddie Lewis, Juju McDowell maybe. So this is a question mark here. This is one where you're thinking, well, who's it going to be? Is this person going to be polished enough to do it? I believe Eddie Lewis has experience doing that at Memphis, where he transferred in from. Marion Brown, I'm a big AB fan. I'm hoping that he has a big year. He has the speed and the quickness to make guys miss in space. Both of those guys I would feel good about in the punt return space. So you got to feel pretty good about it, although it is a question mark. And look, I expect more plays and just the consistency that we saw last year, where special teams was an X factor. Special teams won us a couple of games. And anytime you have Pete Lembo and Shane Beamer, you know that's going to be an emphasis. I mean, really, anytime, as long as Beamer's our head coach, that's going to be an emphasis. But then you bring in the genius that is Lembo, I would continue to expect for special teams to make an impact this season as well. Moving over to the defense here, you know, it's funny. Clayton White, you know, I like this guy, man. I've been a fan of his. I think we saw the job he did year one. And, you know, the defense as a whole, it's never quite been lights out, right? Like, we're not talking top five in the SEC, big, scary first rounders and things like that. Some of that will come with recruiting, right? Dylan Stewart and otherwise. But what this defense has been, it's been consistent. It has a couple of moments. It has a couple of games that it's not up to par, but he's tended to correct very well week over week. If there's a bad game or something beats us, whether it's the run game, pass game, he tends to clean that up. And then what we saw time and again last year was in game, if there was a moment where you needed the defense to step up, they tended to. And I think it's a testament to the system and the coaching that Clayton White does. This system allows guys to play free. They don't have to think too much. He plays to the strengths of the defense well. Now, I'm excited about Nick Emanwari and DQ Smith. I mean, how can you not be? These two guys, true freshman year campaign, instant impact players. So now you're telling me they're going to be more knowledgeable. They're not going to have as much of a learning curve. They're going to be bigger. They're going to be faster. You have two anchors back there who can help in run, support, pass, defense. And it allows Clayton White to do some unique things because his system, you know, he wants guys to be on an island. So that's going to be Marcellus Dial and O'Donnell Fortune. You know, I've talked about O'Donnell Fortune a lot. He's an impact player in the sense of you need him to step up well. You saw how effective the defense can be when you have two strong corners like we did last year. But a question mark for me is O'Donnell Fortune. Because can he step up to the level that we feel like he can be? You know, he actually played in more games than I realized last year. And I think that will pay big dividends this go around. I mean, he's athletic as all heck. It's can he stay healthy? Can he make the tackles in space? All that jazz. Again, there may be a little bit of a curve. You feel good about Marcellus. He was asked to step up in big moments last year, and he did. He's played around on that defense. You feel good about him. So it's just your number two. And you're asking, can the number two act like a number one? And then there's a lot of concern out there about the D-line. Like I said before, last episode, I'm a bit more bullish on the D-line than I think most are, but a concern is the edge rusher. Let's start with Jordan Strawn. You don't know if he's going to be 100%. You don't know when he's going to be 100%. You know, this is his second ACL injury. Word is the coaches are taking their time with him, bringing him back. So, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if he doesn't play a whole heck of a lot week one. I think you'll see him in there, but how effective is he going to be? And then, so you're looking around and who's going to be able to step up in his place, right? I mean, Jordan, you hope by week three, he can really feel like himself. But in those first 2 weeks, if you can give me, I don't know, 80% of Jordan Strawn, something like that, I could feel pretty good. I'm looking at Jadeus Gear, the transfer from Syracuse. You know, last year in a Power 5 conference, it's still technically Power 5, but, you know, he was effective. And I've said this before, if you look at his numbers last year as a young guy, a young player, if he was on Carolina, you would be very excited for him to make that next step this season. You know, I know he's persona non grata now, but Gilbert Edmond, he kind of gives me those type of vibes where it's a guy who's ready to take that next step if just given the chance. You're asking a lot from him. This is his chance. So that's why you need someone opposite of him to be at least somewhat effective. I think Jordan can be that. I'm big on Brian Thomas Jr. I know I'm basing this off of the spring game, but he looked great. And he looks the part. He comes from an NFL bloodline. He could be someone that plays some meaningful snaps. Terrell Dawkins, he's a guy who's struggled with injuries, but if he can stay healthy, that brings some experience there. And he's an older veteran guy that might be able to play meaningful snaps in that rotation role. You know, Desmond Omezulu, might have mispronounced that, I'm sorry, but he might be an impact as a freshman in obvious passing situations. So, yes, there are question marks on that defensive line, but I think there is more depth than people give it credit for. I think Coach Robertson is going to be an invaluable asset to this team in even a short offseason. And as a whole, I think the defense is going to be okay. I love our linebacking core. This is the first time in recent memory where it's not just one or two linebackers that you're maybe excited about. We've always had one. Debo Williams turned into a much better player than I thought he was going to be when he transferred here. Stone Blanton, I'm very high on him. And word is he is bigger, faster, and stronger. Bam Martin Scott. Pup Howard. Mo Kaba, he was going to be the leader of this linebacking core last year. He got hurt. Can he come back in week one and play some meaningful snaps? Maybe. But there's less pressure on him to rush back because of this. If you can get consistent contributions out of him, if he can be darn near 100% early in the season, I think we'll be okay. I think the run defense will improve because of that. And then moving over to the offense here, I mean, the offense is... It's funny because we haven't said it in like a very long time that you like feel legitimately excited for a Carolina offense because we've had this rotating door of OCs for years. And like I talked about at the top of the show, we've had so many instances of unrealized potential. And then we had these couple of games last year at the end of the season where it was phenomenal and you saw what it was like. You saw how the other side lived. When the passing game complements the running game and the play calls are working right and you're getting your playmakers are involved, all that jazz. It's like, you know when you have like a big meal? This is going to be a shitty metaphor here. Like when you have like a big meal or you're at a buffet and you get that last bite that is just amazing and it makes you want to go back. That's what the last three games were of this South Carolina season, because you're like, ooh, that was it. So I'm excited for all the talent that we have on that side of the ball. Spencer, Juice, Trey Knox, Josh Simon, X, Eddie Lewis, Amarian Brown, DK Joyner. There's a lot of reason to be excited. And there's even more pass catchers who I didn't list there that are younger that could also be big-time contributors. Kyla Horton, Omega Blake, Landon Sampson, Elijah Caldwell's impressing. And it all starts with Spencer, right? However, there are legitimate concerns, or question marks, rather, on the offensive side of the ball. The biggest one, and I said this in my State of the State episode, it's Dowell Loggins. And this is no disrespect to Dowell Loggins. Everything you've heard and read about him is great. It's been rave reviews from the players, from the staff. Everything he himself has said about what he envisions the offense to be is exactly what you wanted to hear. Taking advantage of your playmakers, creating mismatches, using the width of the field differently. A little bit more tempo, not crazy, but a little bit more balance. Having play calls that are easy for college kids to memorize. Less formations, smoother rhythm, all of it. It all makes sense. So this is not a slight to him. But he hasn't called plays in a couple of years, and he's never done it in college. So that's the biggest question mark for me in this offense, that, yes, everyone's saying the right things. We have the playmakers. The pieces are set, so to speak. Can the guy playing the game, controlling the game, Dowell Loggins, do it? Does he have rust? You know, does it take a couple of series week one to kind of get his feet underneath him, calling the plays and everything like that? And that's why you have scrimmages, but even so. So that's the biggest question mark on the offensive side of the ball for me. As excited as I am, it's just a question mark. And I wouldn't even say it's cautiously optimistic. I'm optimistic, and I'm high on this offense. There's just this lingering thought of it's a new OC. And you have to break that in. Sometimes there's bumps along the road with a new coach. So we have to see how that plays out. Offensive line is another question mark. The offensive line was in question week over week last year. You know, I did feel like they got, I felt like they marginally improved a little bit towards the end. And that was more so when you saw the influence of Lonnie Teasley. Now he's the full-time coach. So can he bring some different coaching techniques and things of that nature to improve this group? There's a couple new faces along the line. You know, you're going to have a new center. You're going to be playing Nick Arjulo. You might have a little bit of youth, especially, you know, in that depth chart along, you know, in the twos. So can they, you don't have to be world beaters, right? But can you improve from last year? Can you keep Spencer upright? And then sort of leads into the other question mark on this offense, which is the running game. Can the offensive line do enough to give these guys a chance? Mario Anderson comes in from Newberry. That's a big step up. I think in short yardage situations, he's got the build for it. I love Juju McDowell. He's bringing experience now. He's bringing some know-how. I like him. But is he every down between the tackles guy? Like, just his build? Not really. You got to give him some looks in that way so defenses can't key in on him with stretch plays and things like that. But he brings that ability to get to the corner and turn it upfield. So then you're looking at Dak Joyner. I've said it before. I do think everything that he's done makes sense to accumulate here, where he understands what an offensive line will be looking at from the quarterback's perspective. Pass protection, that's going to be tough for him, but he's blocked guys on the outside as a wide receiver. He can make a guy miss. He's been the wildcat quarterback, the wildcock, so he knows how to run from that angle. So he can be effective. But again, no slight against him and his athleticism, his love for the Gamecocks, his love for the game, He just hasn't done it before. So who's going to step up in that group? And can the offensive line give them a chance? And can Dowell Loggins scheme around all of that? But with that being said, I'm very high on the offense. I think Spencer's going to have a career year. I think this is finally his moment. I think him and Juice are going to light up the SEC. Trey Knox and Josh Simon are absolutely going to be a problem in the red zone. I haven't even talked about Nick Harbor yet. Nick Harbor is a freaking monster. And I think they're going to bring him along slow. I think there was this expectation or sentiment, and I was there, that this guy is going to step on campus and be a bona fide star from day one. Shane Beamer has been very vocal in pumping the brakes on that. He is a true freshman. He's a two-sport athlete. So there's going to be a little bit of a curve. But with that being said, because it's also, you're not relying on him, right? You have three, four guys, wide receivers, that have a lot of college experience and are good. So you don't have to rush him along. But with that being said, they are 1,000% are going to be having a couple of packages that are designed to get Nick Harbor the ball. Might even just be a bubble screen, and let's use your track speed to blow past a couple of guys. Imagine a red zone package with Nick Harbor, Trey Knox, Josh Simon, Juice, and Xavier Leggett. That would be impossible to defend. So there's all these things you start to think of that can get you really excited about this offense. We just have to see it come together. And that's what makes me really bullish on this team this year. I'm going to get into my season predictions the next two episodes or so. But I'm really excited, y'all. I am very excited for this team. So, I mean, when you look at all three phases, there's reason for excitement and optimism on each of them. But just like 99% or 100% of the teams out there, we're not perfect, right? Like, there are going to be question marks. That's just football. That's sports. There's going to be spots where you feel like you can be stronger. But if you ask me, there's legitimate answers to every question. Whether it's guys adapting, new faces contributing, whatever it may be. And we have a great coaching staff that I fully trust in, and I'm very, very excited for this team. But with that, y'all, that wraps up this episode. Please follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks. Instagram is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. Please like, subscribe, and review the podcast. I appreciate all y'all. Go Cox.